1, 2, 3.
Welcome to In the Studio, a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums. I'm Red Beard, and today in the studio, it's the late David Bowie's best-selling album ever, Let's Dance.
It's very important for an art form to be the way that only a certain group of people think. That's when it's still an incendiary device. But when it just becomes the way that we all think, it's popular music. We all love popular music. Access to it is so easy. It's everywhere. It's wall to wall. It wasn't this, I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, I remember having to tune into the American Forces Network to hear any real kind of rock music at all, especially if I wanted to hear any soul or rhythm and blues. Just selling stuff is not anywhere near the aspects of the internet that interest me. Mm-hmm. I think it's far more exciting than that.
I'm sure you're right.
Thanks for rejoining us in the studio. David Bowie here with Redbeard.
New York City residents go to great lengths of time and expense to avoid, or at least minimize, standing in line for the basics of living in one of the most densely populated cities in the world. That only serves to underscore the fact that thousands of New Yorkers stood in line in New York's Soho subway stations just to get a Metro subway card with the image of the late David Bowie on it, and to view the subway station installation promoting the David Bowie Is exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum now through mid-July. It also comes on the 35th anniversary of Let's Dance, released in April 1983, an album which Rolling Stone magazine would later describe as, quote, the conclusion of arguably the greatest 14-year run in rock history. Selling just under 11 million copies, Let's Dance was nominated for the Grammy Award for Album of the Year in 1983. And if David Bowie could have moonwalked like Michael Jackson, Bowie probably would have won. The title song, Let's Dance, was the number one song in the U.S. and the U.K., a first and only for David's five-decade career, while Modern Love and China Girl both reached number two in his native England. And let's not forget that in mashing up the blues with the new romantic sound, a style which ironically he himself had completely influenced with his Berlin trilogy of Heroes, Low, and Scary Monsters, David Bowie introduced us to the then unknown Texas guitar player Stevie Ray Vaughan on the Let's Dance album. Certainly a lot has changed in the 35 years since David Bowie released Let's Dance in April 1983. The biggest is that David Bowie passed away in January 2016. But before that, he and I sat down to talk about the areas of communication, information, entertainment. It was no surprise that multimedia maven Bowie, who seemed tailor-made for the dawn of the MTV era in America when Let's Dance was released, he'd be later among the first to embrace computer-generated virtual reality, gaming, and the internet.
For people who have an adventurous spirit, I think it will be really intoxicating to be able to take the lives and the narrative and the location and bend them at will in a virtual world that is so real that if you have one of those scope sets on with the earphones and the screen in front of your eyes, you really are going to be in a world that you have created and that you exist in. It's got to go that way. Whoa, the music. They said, would I mind being portrayed in the game? And I said, no. And they asked if Iman would do it. And she said, yes. And a couple of the band members, Reeves and my bass player, Gail. So we're all in the game. And I said, where does it stop? I said, can you make me 24? And they said, yeah. So I'm 24 in the game. Blue-faced, but 24.
Well, hey.
That's so, you lose one.
You lose one, yeah, you get one.
You give up something, you get it. And then they said, so we have to do some motion capture work with you, you know, so we put all the things on you and you move about. And I said, hey, hold on. I said, I move okay. I said, but there's a guy that I've worked with in the past who's a choreographer of a dance troupe in Canada called La 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 Human Steps. We're an amazing dancer. Get him and capture his movements and put those on me. Can we do that? And then I'll be dancing really in a strange and incredible fashion. So they did that. They got Edward. Edward Locke, his name is. So it's me at 24 with Edward's body. So that gave me the idea that it won't be so very long will I be able to stop doing videos entirely and just create this simulacra of myself doing virtually anything I want him to do. He'll always be 24 or 19 or whatever I want him to be. And I won't have to bother about actually wondering how you work with video in an MTV generation.
The scary thing is you're only half joking.
Oh, no, I'm very excited about the idea. I think it could be.
This is going to be possible, isn't it?
Absolutely possible.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely possible. In Japan, it's already happened. There's a pop artist over there whose name I can't remember, but she won't be offended because she doesn't exist. And it's
really?
Yeah. And she's a huge multi-million selling artist.
She does
commercials. She does videos. She's a virtual artist. But she's mammoth. And it's just phenomenal.
furiously paced Modern Love leads off David Bowie's April 83 Let's Dance album. With the fattest, cleanest recorded sound of any Bowie album to date, courtesy of producer Nile Rodgers of Chic fame. Possibly a motivator for Bowie to move decisively on the virtual gaming opportunity was the fact that David passed on the first video game to become a major motion picture.
Do you remember Tron?
I do remember Tron.
Which now looks like a piece of prehistory. It is amazing
at the how time,
the
it was
speed, the rate of change has affected this. It was, what it would have been, 70? It was quite early, wasn't it? It was actually in the 70s. It was a 70s movie.
And I think only, it was even later than that, David.
Maybe early 80s, do you think?
Yes, I do.
I do remember one thing about it, which is 84. I turned it down.
Oh, you remember that?
I turned
for
it
sure.
down, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, probably because I was working on something. Because I think it must have appealed to me, but I may well have been touring or something like that.
I think
that.
You were on Serious Moonlight Tour, because I think the movie was around 84.
That may well have been it. Yes, mm-hmm. That would have been probably the reason that mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to do it. Mm-hmm. But looking back at it now, it really looks, it's so naive and vulnerable looking, and you can't believe that they actually thought like that then, that that would be the be-all and end-all of computer gaming. It's got its own little history built into it now.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I've got friends who collect Simon Says, and do you remember Pong?
Pong, sure.
They have those collectors, and they have them now in glass cases.
Oh. It's like Pez. They're collecting those now.
Well, Pez, interestingly enough, was the reason for eBay on the internet. The guy...
You're kidding.
His wife collected Pez containers, Pez dispensers. And he was trying to find them on the internet and realized that if there was some kind of service that would kind of supply this need.
That's a great story.
And it all came out of that.
I had no idea.
Why? Because of his wife's need for Pez dispensers.
I'll give you
David Bowie's longtime friend Iggy Pop co-wrote China Girl, which was another hit for Bowie from the April 1983 album Let's Dance. 15 years later, David would pioneer utilizing the emerging World Wide Web as a game changer for creative artists to bypass the entrenched gatekeepers at the press, radio, and television.
Something that I'm extremely hands-on with. I mean, I dominate the site. Everything about it is the way I want it to be. All the areas in it are the areas I want. I contribute to it all the time. I create the journals for it. I do book lists of things that I've read. I also brought the Sensation exhibition to it for free. I mean, that's a free site. I've got a number of other art exhibitions that I'm running within it. I'm also starting to pull in on other artists and to introduce their work to other people, having them come on and do chat rooms. It really is becoming a much wider forum than when it first started, which has always been my idea, to expand it so that it represents all the arts, not just kind of the stuff that I do. It's got nothing to do with sales.
Once
it's about
again.
Trying to create an interesting, a new kind of community where the community revolves around a particular set of interests. There are a lot of other sites that deal with merchandise and selling and buying albums and all that, and I don't want to touch that because I don't think that's what I do best. What I do best is trying to create new ways of expressing things and trying to find new ways of combining information.
You never told me of your other faces. This is no ordinary, oh, 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 what a criminal.
David Bowie saw fit to cover Metro's Criminal World on Let's Dance with those tasty blues guitar licks provided by a then little-known Texas guitarist, Stevie Ray Vaughan, that Bowie had discovered at the annual Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland. Up next, David's predictions about the internet come true. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and discover all of your favorites at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, paying tribute to the late David Bowie on the anniversary of his biggest seller, Let's Dance, In the Studio.
Thanks for rejoining us in the studio. David Bowie here with Redbeard.
He really was bigger than life, wasn't he? It's hard to believe David Bowie's gone. As early as the late 90s, David Bowie could already grasp the almost unlimited potential of the internet as something that could supplant rock's innate ability to affect cultural change.
We embrace the internet as a way of making a fairly constructive exercise and not just a big shop. You know, it doesn't have to be a big shop. Huh. So much talk has gone about how music will eventually all be on the internet. Well, yes, but in what form? You know, I think it can't just become a replacement for the retail shop on the street. You know, because the retail on the shop on the street is actually a really good place. There's a lot of community aspects to that. A lot of kids go into those shops just because they want to be with some people.
Have for years.
Absolutely, and that will never be replaced. But what will happen is that if the internet becomes very interesting in the way that it allows you access to music and the artists and what they think and what they do. I mean, we have chat rooms that I am in. I go in and I get feedback from everyone, and they're quite hostile as well. It's not a big pally. I mean, we're not talking the Osmonds. You know, it's not a fan club kind of thing. It's not like the old-fashioned idea of a fan club. This really is a sense of a virtual community of people that really have information that goes backwards and forwards between the artist and themselves. And that really is a totally new kind of thing.
title song to the Let's Dance album included more stinging Texas blues guitar licks from Stevie Ray Vaughan, helping David Bowie to cop the number one sales slot on the album charts in the UK as well as number four in America. Bowie's conversation with me about the internet continued in the studio.
I've found very few sites where the artists are actually involved, where they'll go on and chat with the users of the site.
All of the greats have told me to a person, year after year, era after era, that they learned very early on that if they're going to have a career, that they cannot pander to the will of the audience or try to second-guess the audience and try to give the audience what they want.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, from what you just said, now I'm confused as to the value of the feedback if it's truly taken by the artist.
Ah, I didn't say that I abide by any of the feedback.
I'm
very stubborn about what I like. I mean, if I disagree, it becomes more in terms of debates, and we will talk about, you know, that album sucks, and I say no, it doesn't suck, and this is why it doesn't suck. No, the feedback comes in, but I don't think that I would do anything other than what I usually do, which is go with my own personal needs about what I want to do.
It's always worked for you
absolutely.
Up to now.
That would never change. Even the idea of putting this site together wasn't something that I thought the audience wanted. I just thought that once they heard it and saw it and got onto it, that they would really like it. And that's kind of the same approach that I've had with the music. If I do a new kind of album or a new kind of presentation, my presumption is I think this is exciting. There's got to be three people out there that also think it's exciting. And I went into the internet with the same spirit. I think the internet is incredibly exciting. And if I had my way, I'd do this. And so I did that. There's a real continuum here, I hope, that I never found there were parameters created around the art forms. I thought if you understood one, you understood them all. It's all about expression. And I do consider some aspects of the internet a new kind of art form, definitely a new kind of communication portal, which is indeed what most art forms are. As I've kind of crept into the painting and the sculpture and to theater and music and combining them all, I saw absolutely no reason to not continue that same line of thinking with the internet itself and just merely make it another kind of area that I can experiment with and recombine things. The worst thing you can do, you see, on the internet is just try and take a shop and put it online. I think that's not what the internet's about.
And of course, that's not the first thing, but the second thing that happened to the internet was exactly that.
Oh, sure, yeah. But it won't be. Yes, of course. I mean, there are certain sites that are nothing more than shopping malls. Just selling stuff is not anywhere near the aspects of the internet that interest me. I think it's far more exciting than that.
I'm sure you're right.
See these eyes so green, I can stare for a thousand years, colder than the moon. It's been so long. And I've been putting out fire with gasoline.
a mashup of the original theme song from the 1982 movie Cat People with the faster tempoed version with Stevie Ray Vaughan on hot guitar from the April 1983 David Bowie classic album Let's Dance. Still to come, David Bowie returns in this archival interview with his thoughts about death and the afterlife. I'm Redbeard. David Bowie's Let's Dance in the studio.
Thanks for rejoining us in the studio. David Bowie here with Redbeard.
I want to remind you, as we listen to this archival interview, this comes from November of 1999. It shows you that David Bowie's crystal ball was absolutely uncanny, that he could see it all.
The internet, in fact, has taken the position that popular music used to have in that way. It is the revolutionary force now, because it's unbridled, it's chaotic, almost anarchistic. You can't control it, however much people would like to. There is really no way of controlling the internet. There may be some very big sites up there, but there's a lot of real renegade, nutcase cowboy sites up there as well. So it really is the arena for expressing new ideas in a new way. And that's really, I think, what it's about, expressing new ideas in a new way. There are new ideas out there, although you have to look at a lot of pop music and see how formulaic it has become in certain areas. And because of the commercial aspects of that kind of formula have held the corporations into not nurturing artists anymore. They don't nurture talent. It's smack the big one fast because the artists are dispensable, but it's the formula that they hold on to.
That's not new. Even
that's when, certainly not new.
Even when you started, that was really the rule of thumb.
Not in quite such a colossal way as okay. It's virtually the only way that the record industry is run these days. That as much as we're loath to admit it, especially we in the rock writing area, I think, is that rock music has lost its currency as a subversive and revolutionary force. I mean, that was bound to happen because it happens with every art form.
That's interesting.
And I think when it merely becomes a conveyance for information, the conveyance itself is up for grabs because it's not exactly what it is, isn't it? It could be put out to pasture now because it actually has done. If you think in terms
it's
of
done
art,
its job.
If you only think of art in terms of its revolutionary clout, its insistence on changing the establishment perspective, its way of unifying, creating solidarity within certain groups of people, then white rock has definitely come to a full stop in terms of being a conveyance of revolution. It's now merely a conveyance of information, which is fine, but it does mean that it no longer tweaks the ear the way that it used to. It doesn't make you feel as though you are us and them anymore. In fact, it's gone through its usual. It's been pulled into the tyranny of the mainstream, and it now just becomes a way that we express our society in a very general, almost kind of conservative fashion. So it was bound to then get picked up by the advertising companies as being representative of society and, in fact, the establishment, and a way that we all think. It's very important for an art form to be the way that only a certain group of people think. That's when it's still an incendiary device. But when it just becomes the way that we all think, it's popular music. We all love popular music. Access to it is so easy. It's everywhere. It's wall to wall. It wasn't this. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, I remember having to tune into the American Forces Network to hear any real kind of rock music at all, especially if I wanted to hear any soul or rhythm and blues. This was just nothing anywhere in Britain, unless you go to record shops that bought 45s off GIs and things like that and pick them up that way. So it's the pure accessibility of it as well.
As much as 15 years before he would be diagnosed and eventually succumb to liver cancer in January 2016, David Bowie felt that art was, in some ways, as effective as religion for some in helping to address life's biggest questions.
There's a lot of life-death confrontation in the exhibition, actually, I find. A lot of the work is, Damien Hirst's work is all about death, or the holding on to life desperately and the refusing to buy into the idea that we have to die. A lot of his work is based on that. I think a lot of the modern young artists, it really is part of the core of what they're trying to express. I do understand that. I think most artists, well, most people do.
I was about to
not
say.
Not just artists.
I was
most
about
people,
to say. It's a universal thing that we can all
It becomes a deflected
to.
Question, but it's a question that we keep going back to, is that when's it going to end for me?
And what's around the next corner?
What's around the next corner? And what is it I'm supposed to be doing here?
Right.
You know, and where did I come from? But honestly,
and where did it all go wrong?
I find the older that I get, there are fewer and fewer questions. It really does kind of boil down to those three. And having accepted there really is absolutely no answer to anything, I think one gets more relaxed. That's what I'm finding anyway.
If you say run, I'll run with you. Thank you.
Let's Dance, the Serious Moonlight Mix, in tribute to David Bowie on the anniversary of Let's Dance. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, missing David Bowie greatly. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2018, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.